Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masses.
Welcome to This Week in Wrestling. We're the Unscripted Wrestling Crew. I'm Daniel, one of your hosts, here with Eric, Doug, and Clarence will be joining us if he already hasn't. And
yeah, he has already.
All right, sweet. This is This Week in Wrestling. Doug, why don't you do some plugs and tell the people some of the topics we have today.
Okay. Listen to Anthony Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They are also available on all podcast platforms. And also they have a show every other Saturday called the Hollywood Hangout, where they review old movies, also on Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. Listen to us every Friday night, usually around 8 or 9 o'clock Eastern Time here on Blog Talk Radio. And also, we are available on all, if not most, major podcast platforms. And also, our This Week in Wrestling show every Sunday, usually around 5 or 6 o'clock Eastern Time. Same thing, Blog Talk Radio. Also on all and or most major podcast platforms. So, this week here on... before we get into today's show, on this upcoming Friday show for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast, we are going to be doing a tier list on all stables / factions in the whole history of wrestling.
The big companies and stuff, though.
Well, the big companies. We're not going to be doing anything from, like, fucking Chikara or whatever the hell. So we're going to basically be doing a tier list on that. Eric has been wanting to do it for 3 weeks. We've made him wait. So now finally, because he's been a good boy for the most part, we're finally going to do the show on Friday. And then the following week, because Daniel is the winner for the month of April in our fantasy wrestling thing, Daniel will be picking a poll of four topics for the show that's going to be either on May 15th or May 16th. We're not sure when exactly we're going to be able to do that show because I work actually scheduled me to work on that Friday night.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Because they know I like doing the show, so they decide they have to fuck me. So, you want to give the four options that we're going to have? You want to do it now?
And then I'll announce the trades, and then we'll get into topics after. All right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sweet. So, the four poll options I have for not this week, but obviously the week after, is going to be a career retrospective or a career discussion on Test. It's going to be top 10 worst moments in WCW, our top 20 wrestlers of all time, or a career retrospective on the Sandman. So that's the four options I got.
Sweet. So two retrospectives and two lists.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not going to be tier lists. They're going to be top 10 or top 20.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of tier lists, so I figure we'll just do rankings for maybe this week or a couple weeks.
That'll be on May 15th or May 16th if we have to move it to Saturday.
Right. And Dave, you're not going to be too happy. because the two trades I have, because I get two trades for winning the month, and who I'm getting rid of are two guys that are hurt right now. When they come back, they'll probably be big money, and this kind of correlates into a story that we can get into later about Kevin Owens' injury. So I'm going to be sending Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens over to Doug, and I'm going to be taking the Street Profits.
You butt-fucking son of a bitch.
You had the best tag team. Dude, fucking Brett has the OC, and they're not even in the company anymore.
He doesn't even fucking do the show anymore.
Exactly.
I think we should just axe him out and just take his picks.
Well, I don't want his picks. That's why I took yours.
Wow.
Good
thing. Dude, the Street Profits are a good team.
You take the Street Profits, and I know they're going to probably lose those tag team titles sooner or later to my boy, the Viking Raiders.
Yeah, well, tomorrow night's non-title, so.
Yeah, the Viking Raiders were a hard choice, but. Yeah, had to go with the Profits. All right, Doug, get into the topics a little bit here. What do we got for today?
So, on tap for today, we're going to be talking about some big injuries didn't go down this week. They went down back at WrestleMania, but they were just actually announced this week.
Oh, wow.
This is actually the beautiful part about the fact that nobody's really being allowed in the building to get any spoilers or anything like that. So anything that's happened, it happened like 3 weeks ago, and we're just fucking finding out about it now. This is the way that people always want the people inside the wrestling business always wanted the wrestling business to be like. But so we'll get into the injuries that were, you know, that happened to Kevin Owens and also to Jey Uso, or not Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso. Also, we'll be talking about Gerald Briscoe getting furloughed by the WWE. So he should be back in like July or August.
Yeah.
He's getting furloughed for now. Curtis Axel had been released by the WWE, so we'll get into that a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about the Money in the Bank ladder matches that are going to go down next Sunday, because those matches, the field's been set except for the men's match, because Apollo Crews got taken out. So we'll talk about that a little bit, because that last spot's going to be filled again tomorrow night. Also on Raw tomorrow night will be a phenomenal return. Or
hell yeah.
Being listed that he's supposed to return. So we'll get into that a little bit. I'm trying to say, if there's anything else, I'll bring it up.
I'll bring it. I got a few topics myself that I'm going to bring up.
Okay.
After we're going to get into the Dark Side of the Ring first. And
yeah.
I don't think of anybody have a way to start.
What do you say?
I'll get your take next to the ring.
Daniel, you're cutting out again. I'm coming downstairs.
You're cutting in.
Son of a bitch.
My take was I thought it was an interesting episode. I enjoyed it, but I saw a lot of people in a different light. Hogan. I mean, I already knew he was a jackass, but he's more
Hogan
of a jackass.
Hogan wasn't even part of the show.
Huh?
Hogan wasn't even part of the show.
Oh. No, he was part of the story.
Yeah, because they aired an interview from a podcast he did.
Yeah, oh, okay. But anyway, it was an interesting episode, and the reporter is, he's a scum, because, yeah, he deserved what happened to him, because he's scum. But what are your thoughts, Doug?
I think that, to be honest with you, I hated this episode. I don't think it was one of the best episodes that they did. And I think, and the reason why I didn't necessarily like the episode is because I think they could have interviewed more people instead of, I mean, this is one of those rare situations that they were able to actually interview both people that were involved in the scandal, because neither one of them are dead. But personally, I didn't necessarily like the episode. I mean, I had never heard of Eddie Mansfield, and I'm starting to realize why.
Exactly.
This episode was basically just filled with bitter people. And
yeah,
the more telling part was John Stossel. Basically, when John Stossel went to the doctors that WWE sent him to, or WWF sent him to, and the doctor basically told him, there's nothing wrong with you, and that ringing in your ears will stop once you get paid. And he fucking admits, oh, yeah. He goes, I felt better once I got paid.
Yeah, that's why he just come.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing.
But here's Eric, he's an investigative reporter. They're supposed to be pieces of shit.
That's true.
Okay. Like the fucking assholes that investigated the Benoit deal. Those Fox News reporters. Nancy Grace, Sean Hannity. They're all pieces of fucking shit. And when, like, if you notice, if you go back and watch any of those interviews, I would not recommend doing unless you're looking for a reason to put a bullet in your own head, which I do not recommend doing that either. But the fact is that, like, if you go back and watch any of those interviews, those interviews stop when the wrestlers are starting to defend themselves. Because these asshole investigative reporters, they'll go on and they'll rip the wrestlers or whatever or whoever apart. And then when the wrestlers start to talk and say, well, here's my rebuttal. Oh, I'm sorry, we're out of time. Well, thank you for joining us. All right, that's why I think the two lowest forms of scum on the face of this earth are lawyers and investigative reporters. So if murder were to ever become legal, it should then investigative reporters and lawyers should be the first ones to go. If you want to think about that.
Yeah, he listens. He's a regular listener to the show.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about this. I think there's only two sides you can take. You either take the reporter's side or you take the wrestler's side. Obviously, a lot of people are taking Dr. D's side. But I have seen a few articles of people defending Stossel or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah.
Whose side do you guys take? Are you on the reporter's side or are you on the wrestler's side for keeping the integrity of the business, even though he did physically assault somebody?
Well, he deserved it.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, he deserved it.
I take David Soul's side. They try to make, at the end of the day, it looked like John was more of the bad guy than David. I felt more sorry for him
than
John.
He asked a question.
John.
He goes, I've heard it's fake. David Schultz said, because back in those days, you are supposed to protect the business. But then, you know, Vince would go on 5 years later and go and tell people that business was, that the wrestling was fake anyway. But he did that to get the government off his back. Vince McMahon did not want it because all sporting events have to follow government regulations. Vince McMahon is not a government relations type of guy. All right? He's proven that, especially lately. He's not much into government regulations. Unless government regulations are you can pay off whatever high-ranking official is telling you to do something, and then they shut the fuck up.
Yep.
So that's why Vince basically went and kind of broke kayfabe years later. As far as David, as far as this whole thing goes, I take David Schultz's side because, again, like I said, I don't like investigative reporters. So the fact that this guy said, comes up and – and also, too, Eddie Mansfield is a – Eddie Mansfield is a bitter piece of shit that, one, I didn't even know who the fuck he was until I saw this piece. And he looks like – you guys know who the actor Michael McKean is?
Yeah.
Okay. He looks like Michael McKean. He looks like he's Michael McKean. He looks like Michael McKean on crack. So you could probably call him Michael McCrack. But so nobody knows who the fuck he is. He wasn't getting any bookings, so he's like, "You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to kill the business." Because, you know, that's what bitter pieces of shit do. And then, you know, we can't even necessarily say that David Schultz is a saint. Because when the steroid pieces came out in, like, 91, 92, or whenever the fuck it was, David Schultz was on the front line with Bruno Sammartino and superstar Billy Graham, basically shitting all over the WWE and their, you know, the whole steroid thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the whole, I'm so sick of people using the "it's fake" thing to talk down to professional wrestling. It makes no sense, especially seeing guys like Darren Drozdov, who's can't move from the waist down or from the neck down, and seeing guys that have like ruined their careers, ruined their mind states, like even the Benoit thing. Like he took so much head trauma. It's crazy that people can look at that and say it's phony just because it's predetermined.
Yep.
But then
exactly.
They can go right around and watch their favorite TV show. Yeah, The Walking Dead's totally real. There's zombies on the fucking street. It's stupid.
Exactly.
It makes no sense.
It's scripted,
it's a
not
show,
fake.
But
right.
It's also an athletic performance.
Exactly.
So Bob Stossel, or whatever the hell his name is, John Stossel, he had whatever he had coming, he had it coming to him. It was just a smack. It's not like he body slammed him. He was just a greedy guy looking for content, looking for a story. And he got what he deserved, in my opinion. Is there anything else we want to touch on with this guy?
What's your thoughts, man?
Well, to me, it just kind of opened up the whole thing of what wrestling used to be. Like, I understand that the whole thing, but who would understand, like, they want to keep wrestling under wraps? So it's just kind of true now, and you compare it to what it is now that now everybody knows it's predetermined. Back then, what I learned from it that they want to, even that to get out, like, wrestling was predetermined. It took a situation to a guy saying that wrestling is not fake to finally put that out there. That's what I got.
Exactly.
I mean, here's the thing, though. Like I said, this was not the best episode of the show because there could have been so many more people that were not pieces of shit that they could have interviewed too. Because basically, you had two people defending the business, which were Jim Cornette and David Schultz, against two people that were trying to destroy the business in John Stossel and Eddie Mansfield. So, in my opinion, they could have had more people on there that also could have said, I think the side should have been tilted a little heavier in the protect the business scale because, you know, Mansfield and Stossel, they've already been made to look like pieces of shit, but the more people that talk shit about them, I think the better.
And that's what I wanted to say about it. I think out of all the episodes of this show, I feel like a lot of the episodes kind of make wrestling look shitty. I think this is the one episode that made wrestling, I don't think it made it look that bad. It kind of seemed it was in the defense of that side of the corners and protecting the business. I mean, just the way the show was kind of narrated, like it made me want to root for Dr. D, not John Stossel. You know what I mean?
That's what it made me do, too.
Yeah, and then, like, they talk about this whole, the whole thing, the reason why Schultz got fired is because of, not because of this, but because of an altercation he had with Mr. T. And it's just like, and I do actually kind of believe that, though, because Mr. T was basically brought in to look at, to basically kind of help build WrestleMania 1. And he was put in as Hogan's buddy. And the thing is that, like, they aired the thing with Hogan when he put Richard Belzer in that front face lock, you know, before WrestleMania, and, you know, Belzer passed out.
Right.
It wasn't done maliciously. Belzer said, "Show me a hold." And Hogan showed him a hold. Problem is that Hogan cinched it on a little too tight, and Richard Belzer passed out. And when he passed out, he hit his head and he busted the back of his head open. But it was an accident.
Ooh.
I mean, what David Schultz did was malicious, but I mean, and John Stossel didn't ask. I mean, John Stossel asked for it without asking for it.
He should have known what he was getting.
He was even warned.
That's the thing about this too. Do we expect a different reaction if John Stossel walks up to Harley Race and says the same thing? I'm expecting maybe worse to happen.
Why did
somebody
they let this fucker in the building
comments.
Anyway?
If he
Harley
did ask
Race
New Jack.
Kicked his ass. Who else? Vader would have kicked his ass. Any old school
New
guy.
Jack.
The Briscoes would have kicked his ass.
Yep.
Terry Funk. Like, anybody. To me, that's the ideal reaction.
Yeah, and the thing is, Vince should have never let him in the building. When he said, "Oh, I'm John Stossel from 2020. Okay, get the fuck out of here. Well, I want to do a piece. No. Goodbye. See ya. Fuck you." As Jim Cornette says, thank you, fuck you, bye.
Yep.
All right, let's put 20 minutes.
What's next week?
Yeah. Hey, guys,
next week is...
Yeah, hello.
What?
I'll call you right back.
Okay.
Next week is Owen?
No, next week is Herb Abrams in the UWF.
Oh, okay. That should be an interesting episode.
It's going to be that'll be an interesting story because this is a story not many people besides me probably know about.
Well, let's get into a unique story of the week. I mean, Eric, are your thoughts finished on, are you good on Dark Side of the Ring or is there
any
more you want to add? Okay.
No, I'm good.
Your boy Cody Rhodes, we're both big fans of him. He's gotten a little bit of a Twitter beef with one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Have you heard about this, Doug? He got into it with Heath Slater. Heath Slater. Hey, Glenn. Cody Rhodes was in an interview, and they basically asked him if Heath Slater and Zack Ryder were going to be joining AEW. And he made the comment that he doesn't want to turn it into all friends wrestling. So that's why he's hesitant on giving Zack Ryder a job. And then when they mentioned Heath Slater, he said, no, nope. And then Heath Slater responded and said that was a bad business decision. Doug, what do you feel about Cody's comments? You think they were out of line somewhat, or do you think it was probably a good decision on his part?
First of all, and I've said this from the start, and you've disagreed with me, which makes me know that I'm right. AEW should not be hiring anybody right now. Okay? Because no fans are being let into. They're not necessarily making any money right now. They're not making any money off ticket sales. yes, they're making a little bit of money off merchandise, but
a lot of money.
But as far as hiring anybody goes right now, wait till July or August when this stuff starts to calm down, if it starts to calm down. As far as his comments go about not wanting to hire Heath Slater, he was probably just like, why do we need Heath Slater? I got enough job guys here. I got the Young Bucks buddy, Brandon Cutler. He's doing all my jobs. I mean, you got a guy that, you know, this Brandon Cutler, it's basically, that just kind of proves them bringing him in is that's what happens when you bring in your friends into the business. I mean, people like me start to talk shit. And then all of a sudden, just because, you know, Brandon Cutler also comes from Rancho Cockadoodoo, California, or whatever the fuck you call it, California. Yeah. And the Young Bucks know a little bit about kooking a lot of mungas. neither do I. I was just trying to insult the Young Bucks. I mean, Bucks. But, like, it's the Heath Slater deal, it's just like, who cares? I mean, Heath Slater's going to find himself another job. Even if it's, you know, going and challenging Nick Aldis for the NWA World title. Heath Slater's still going to find a job.
I see him in TNA.
So you see him making no money.
Yeah, I see him in the lower to mid card in TNA. Maybe Ring of Honor.
I could see him in New Japan.
It's one of the geisha girls, maybe.
I like Heath Slater.
Can I say this one thing about Heath Slater, though?
Sure.
If
you
look,
say two things.
If you look at what Heath Slater did in the WWE, he totally, if you think about it, started 3MB. Jinder Mahal, and then you have Drew McIntyre. Who would have thought that group 3MB, the way they were back then, would be where they're at now? Jinder Mahal, former WWE champion. You also have Drew McIntyre, current WWE champion. Those three together was a total joke.
And it was a total joke. And the only reason why they put the WWE title on Jinder Mahal, they were building up Jinder Mahal so they can take him to India as WWE champion just for Triple H to beat him for the WWE title. They were building him up. They were building him up for Triple H to bury him. Now, he lost the WWE title to AJ and not Triple H because they figured if we put the title on Triple H, you know, these pieces of shit fans that do their own podcasts are going to fucking tear us apart. But with Heath Slater, I think, was the more entertaining member of 3MB, and yet the only thing he really did was he was a tag team champion. But his thing with Rhino worked.
Well, no, he had great success at Nexus.
Oh. Yeah, until John Cena decided, we don't.
Until John Cena decided he was the Wendy's girl, he was on the up and up. That killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But him and Justin Gabriel were okay. They were a good tag team.
Yeah, they were a decent team. I mean, it's just, I'm just going to go with, I don't think Cody really said anything wrong. Cody just probably doesn't see a future for Heath Slater in AEW. But it's not necessarily up to Cody. It's up more to Tony Khan because Tony Khan's the one signing the paychecks.
Well, I don't think Heath Slater's ever been big money. But I think he's a decent hand.
They were more than if they brought him in. The only thing they'd bring him in for is so he can, you know, get squashed by guys like Wardlow and Lance Archer, and you know, probably so we can make fun of somebody else's haircut besides MJF's.
Let's talk about the Kevin Owens injury. Kevin Owens and Jimmy Uso on the bench. How do you feel about that, Cletus?
I saw about that, wondering why, and I saw that report. I was just kind of surprised about the whole thing. Samoa Joe on commentary on Raw, going back to where it used to be. But if you think about the whole thing, it makes you forget, wondering what, where is it, why is the Forgotten Sons getting this push? It's because of this injury right here and there.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and that, I mean, with Kevin, and the thing is that Kevin Owens and Jimmy Uso were injured at WrestleMania. WrestleMania technically was taped a month ago, and all this stuff is coming out now. And that just...
What's Owens' injury?
Owens injured his ankle.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the thing is that, like, this kind of goes back to, you know, because there's not necessarily, you know, any TV, you know, any like insiders or fans let into the performance center during these tapings. Like, we're not getting spoilers the next day. Nobody's knowing what the hell's going on.
Which kind of makes it better like that, though. It makes it actually better like that, because when SmackDown was taped, and I didn't have. I used to go on like every Tuesday to one some wrestling site just to read if SmackDown was actually going to be worth watching.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that, like, I mean, if anything, and I'm not going to say that this virus is a good thing. No, I'm not going to say that this virus is a good thing unless we see John Stossel's obituary in the paper. No, I'm just kidding. And I wouldn't want that to happen. If anything, I would just want him to get smacked by David Schultz again. But you could almost say that this pandemic almost brought kayfabe back into wrestling.
The Pandusky?
Yeah, because like now the business technically, WWE can do whatever they want and not get criticized for it until it airs. So now they have like a month's worth of stuff taped, or, you know, the Money in the Bank matches have already been filmed. The winners have already been decided.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Taped
that
yesterday. Yeah, they taped Money
in
the Bank.
Yeah, they did
yesterday.
That already. So even
they
have to like,
do it in the building?
I'm not sure, but everything's already been filmed. It's going to be more, it's going to be cinematic matches again.
Well, I'm surprised no one that hasn't leaked out yet. Because they're pretty hard to miss on the roof of Titan Towers.
Yeah, but the only thing is that they're doing this year is that they're having both men and women compete at the same time for the Money in the Bank match.
Yeah, I heard that. That both matches are going to be going on at the same. And so they're both starting on the floor. And they're both. So basically, it's almost like, you know, in different movies. There's, like, always those scenes going on. And what, like, you see those big chase scenes, like, in different cop movies where, like, six people are trying to run after the bad guy at once. And did you guys ever watch the movie U.S. Marshals?
Yeah.
Probably.
It's with Tommy Lee Jones and Wesley Snipes and Robert Downey Jr. Basically, like, there's this scene where Wesley Snipes' character, he's trying to get away, and Tommy Lee Jones' character in this and another character in the movie, they're right behind him. And then the other two cops are right behind Tommy Lee Jones and the other cop. And then you have Robert Downey Jr. and Joe Pantoliano, their characters are stuck in traffic somewhere in New Jersey. And they're trying to get into Queens, and it's taking them longer. So they keep going to where, like, all right, where the hell are you guys? We're still stuck at this red light. So, but it's just like, so it's going. Oh, get the fuck out of here. So having these two matches going, it's basically going to be like a movie. they're going to be cutting from like scene to scene.
That's sweet, though. Who's winning?
I think that's going to be awesome.
You see, here's the thing, and this is the thing that scares me. If you have both Otis and Nia Jax up on the roof of Titan Towers at the same time, it's going to be like Godzilla is going to win one match and King Kong is going to win the other.
Oh, boy.
As far as who I think is going to win the ladder match, I think for the women's side, it almost has to be Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, you would think.
I'm going Asuka and Debra.
I mean, for the men's side, I would probably pick, I think the logical choice would probably be Aleister Black. And then Aleister Black, like, finally starts going into the darkness and becoming the heel that I think he should be.
That might be Daniel Bryan, though.
What, you just look it up?
You think?
No.
Oh.
But he's super over.
Yeah.
And he had one Money in the Bank yet.
Huh?
I agree with Doug, actually. I think they need to have Black win and have him turn heel and cash in on Drew at SummerSlam.
Yeah. And
but
we'll get into this more.
It has to be Shayna.
We'll get into this more because we can kind of preview this show next Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But real quick, Clintus, who do you think's winning the men's and women's matches?
Aleister Bliss. But
okay.
Hey, guys, I'm about to keep going, so I'll call in probably talk to you guys next week.
Okay.
All right.
See you, man.
I'll talk to you guys later. See ya.
Later, Clint.
What, his phone keep cutting in and out, too?
No, I don't know. I think he's just bouncing.
Okay.
I think he's got something to do. But, yeah, we'll preview this match more. We got more. We got another couple topics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gerald Briscoe being furloughed.
Yeah, these releases.
AEW.
Okay, so AEW, yeah. AEW we got to get into. These releases, it's kind of hard to keep touching on them because, you know, it sucks, but Briscoe will be back, so there's not much there. There's not a lot to dive into. I think he's going to be back. He's furloughed for a reason.
Yeah.
Curtis Axel. Who knows?
No surprise.
Curtis Axel is going to go somewhere else. See, and that's the thing is that, like, you know, we say that it's a horrible time for a lot of these talents to be released, but one, I think a lot of them are going to have no competes, so they can't come back till July anyway. And two, when they come back, or when they're able to go somewhere else, there's plenty of places for people for them to go.
I think
I think Axel in New Japan.
You think everyone's going to New Japan, Eric Meltzer?
No. No, I just see Axel as a New Japan guy. I don't know why, but
I see him in NWA. Eric, you see everybody as a New Japan guy. You see Daniel and I as New Japan guys.
Well, for a while, I guess I was. But
thank God you see the rest of the show.
But
oh, gosh.
I think it would be a logical choice for him to go to the NWA. Especially they're losing guys now because Colt Cabana left.
Yeah.
Colt Cabana left. I think Kennedy's gone.
Oh, Kennedy's in AEW now, right? Or no?
Not yet.
Did he show up there, though?
No.
I mean, but also, too, I mean, Ring of Honor could use some guys. They could use a talent surge.
Yeah. And Curtis Axel, let's face it, he can go.
Yeah.
He's not bad. I just don't think they ever knew what to do with him. And they just didn't want to call him Kurt Hennig.
No, they didn't want to call him Joe Hennig, which is his actual name.
Yeah.
And also,
Cena's criticized them for that too.
And but also, here's the thing too: the guy's 40 years old.
Yeah,
right?
40 already.
Kurt
wow.
Hennig, his Kurt Hennig and Kurt's wife, I forget what her name is. I think it's Loretta or something. They had him young.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Basically, he knocked Kurt Hennig knocked his wife up like right out of high school.
So Curtis Axel, he got in the business late then a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he was – I don't think he necessarily wanted to be in the business. I think he has a sister that wanted to be in the business, his sister Amy. And she got – she was in, but she wasn't having any success. And then I think it was more Larry the Axe Henning basically – said to Joe, why don't you get in? I mean, you're naturally gifted just like your dad, so but
I think, and hear me out here. Well, first of all, Joe Henning's a really smart guy. If you hear him talk and listen to, not backstage interviews, but some other interviews when he goes to radio stations or whatever, he's an intelligent guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's funny. You know, he seems like a good guy. I just think he got put in that jobber mold, so now there's no breaking out of it. Once you're the social outcast, you're on the B team, there's really no – you're a Miz crony. There was no way for him to break out of that. So I think this was a long time coming. He had one shot with Heyman, and it didn't happen. Didn't work. Not necessarily his fault. Didn't he have an angle with Triple H?
Yeah, and it was – I mean, that was basically just more to, you know, kind of build an angle with, like, Triple H and Vince. Because Vince was always just like Triple H wanted to wrestle him, and Vince was like, no, you're not going to wrestle him. I mean, it was a whole bullshit angle to where all Triple H had to do was just punch Vince in the mouth, knock him out for, like, a week, and then he could do whatever the fuck he wanted.
Yeah.
This is what he should have fucking done.
So, yeah, that's that. All right, AEW this week. What were some high points for you, Eric?
Probably the Cody and Darby Allin match. That was a pretty good match. I mean, I suspected Cody won, but Darby showed a lot of potential there. I think the ending was pretty good, where he did the what's his finisher called?
The coffin drop.
Graveyard or something. Coffin.
Coffin drop.
Drop, and he turned it into a pinfall. So I like the way
I
they
think
did
you
that.
And Doug
and
have
I...
differ opinions on this one.
Oh.
Doug, say
go
your
ahead.
Piece.
Okay. That when you do an ending like that, that is the shittiest way to fucking end. That basically just tells you, basically just tells the audience, oh, this finisher is dog shit. So we're going to fucking make it, you know, we're going to have him hit it full force, and then we're going to turn it into a pinfall event. We're just going to basically show you what we think of this finisher. So basically, AEW management pissed all over the coffin drop.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, that's a shitty take. I thought we were on the same page here. No, I think the finish sucked too, but I don't, not because of that. I think it was stupid because they made the coffin drop still looked effective. I think it was stupid that Cody pinned him like lazily like that. Like Cody was so hurt and he barely got him over. I wish they would have pissed on the coffin drop more, honestly. I wish he would have caught him and turned it into a counter. But instead he had him hit it and then they were both tired.
Well,
and Katie,
he should have gotten the knees up or he should have. No, when you hit the finish. When you hit a finish like that, and Shayna Baszler did this to Kairi Sane's don't try to gross me out when I'm making a point. You pig. Five, 9 times a day. But, like, when Kairi Sane dropped that elbow on Shayna Baszler and then Shayna Baszler pinned her right away, that's a piss on a finish.
No, it's not.
No, because it's almost like you're not selling a finish. You get hit with a fucking finish. If you want to kick out at two, that's fine. or like if you want to do a thing to where like it's a two count and then the rollover, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
But when you, as soon as the guy hits it, if you roll over right away, that's a piss on a finish.
No, it's not, because
yes, it is.
He's a self-deprecating character. That's what he's supposed to be. He's like a Jeff Hardy. So his whole arsenal is to put his body in more harm.
What
so
he
put his
was,
body in harm, and he
Cody
lost.
What Cody did was defecated on Cody's or on Darby's finishing move.
No, he
deprecating?
Didn't.
No, he defecated.
No, he did not defecate the finish. You're wrong. You're wrong. He's supposed to be a badass wild man who puts his body in danger. He does that with the coffin drop. Everyone knows the coffin drop hurts Darby just as much as the other guy. That proved that. I do think
yeah.
that he pinned him kind of lazily, and that was the shitty part, was the way Cody pinned him. So we're agreeing on that point. I think Cody did pin him in a stupid way.
Yeah, no. It
made the finish look dumb.
Yeah.
He both made good points.
Like I said, he pissed on the coffin drop by, if you want to kick out at two and then roll over, I don't have a problem with that. Because Triple H did it to Jeff Hardy with the Swanton, that's the proper way to do it. But when with Cody Rhodes doing this to Darby, and, you know, like I said, when I brought up when Shayna Baszler, you know, the ugly mutt with the penis, did that to Kairi Sane when Kairi Sane hit her elbow and then Shayna rolled her over right away, didn't even bother letting her get the two counts, just rolled her over right away and pinned her. That's basically, that's pissing on somebody else's finish, which I would expect from an ugly hermaphrodite like Shayna to do such a thing, because she has no respect for the business because she's friends with that other ugly dog,
I hope we never go national.
Rhonda Rottweiler. But from Cody?
Here we just lost a sponsor.
Yeah. What, SPCA?
Well, obviously Verizon Wireless. Where folks keep fucking dying.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to hear your shit anymore.
Yeah, Travis Browning probably works for Verizon now because he can't get booked for another UFC fight. But from those ugly bitches. But from Cody, for somebody that's supposed to have like a rich tradition in the wrestling business, then with Dusty would never do shit like that. Dusty would wait for the two count and then roll him over.
First of all, Cody's not wrong here because that got booked that way. And I beg to differ because I think Darby is the one who botched that, because the way he rolled over was kind of stupid too. I think it was poorly executed on all levels. I don't think any one person's at fault here.
So then Darby fucked up his own finish.
Yeah, I think it. Dude, Darby looked dumb the way he hit the coffin drop and just kind of rolled over. And Cody looked dumb because he kind of just like. I think they're.
Fell
over,
I think the plan was for Darby to overshoot it. And I think he just didn't get enough air. That's my hot take. That's what I think the plan was. Because that's how they acted. They acted like he just overshot it. But really, he landed on him, and then he just rolled over.
He landed flush, so I can kind of see that. So I do see that point. However, I do think that it still is a piss on a finish, and that they basically buried the coffin drop. So now Darby's going to have to come up with another different finish.
I disagree. The coffin drop.
I disagree with that too.
At this point. He's done it in so many cool ways, on the Cracker Barrel, on the side of the ring. That finish is when you think of Darby Allin, you think of that finish.
Yeah, but if they do something like that again, he's got to come up with a new finish. And I can guarantee you, with other guys there that are willing to, you know, bury other people, you know, somebody else is going to fuck up this finish, and then he's going to have to come up with a new one. So I do see your point.
Yeah, we're going to agree to disagree on this one. Let's talk about the Murder Hawk Monster.
Who do you guys think are going to win the title first?
Well, technically, that has something to do with Lance Archer. I think he's going to beat Cody. I'm going to be rooting for Cody because, as a fan, I do like to root for the babyfaces. most of the time. And I like Cody Rhodes. So I will root for Cody. I think business-wise, they're going to have Lance Archer kick the shit out of him. And I thought it was really cool, the spot they did with him and Dustin. I thought that was a great main event. And how Cody was a concerned brother. I was talking to this with Dougie the other day. And when people were people can never call Cody selfish, right? Because he's put a lot of guys over.
Yeah.
The only way you can call him selfish is I do think that he's handpicked the best storylines for himself. I will say that much. I think he's been in the most compelling, heart-stringing, like from Dustin to the MJF thing to the Sean, Dustin and the Sean Spears thing to the MJF thing to this. Every storyline that Cody's been in, and obviously the Jericho thing, every storyline's mattered.
Right, and that's the thing, and you can't necessarily fault Cody for that because
he's putting guys over too, though.
Yeah, he's putting them over, and that's what people, wrestlers in high-powered positions do. But it's also up to the other people, the other agents, the other people in charge to make the other storylines equally as important.
Yeah, I agree.
But when you have other guys, I mean, and Brandy, I'm not going to knock Brandy anymore because she realized how fucking stupid her group was, her storyline was, and she axed it.
You think that, are we going to ask that this week on the tier list?
Probably. So I think she did the right thing. So she gained a little bit of respect back from me for realizing Mel can't work worse shit. Luther is an autistic vampiro. All
right. And we're upside.
And Awesome Kong is, and you know, Awesome Kong had to leave to go film Glow anyway. So she was smart enough to realize that, you know, that was stupid. And like with the Young Bucks, I think the Young Bucks, even though I still think the Young Bucks are a couple of wimps that probably couldn't even take Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey in a fight. I think that they're smart by not putting the titles on themselves yet.
Can I branch off your Brandy point real quick?
Yeah.
Because I agree with the Brandy point, and I want to say usually I don't like when wrestling shows cut off a storyline like that with no real explanation.
Yeah.
In that case, I'm cool with it. Because it was a shitty storyline, and everyone knew it was going nowhere. I think it's fine to act shit like that.
Yeah. Well, when it's going to go nowhere, that's fine. And go ahead, Eric.
Oh, no, sorry, Doug. Go.
But, no, Brandy did the right thing.
Yeah.
But so when you have people in power like that yes, they want to get themselves over, but they also know they have to get other people over.
Yeah. Because a lot of people were giving Brandy shit about that. I've seen that online and stuff. They're giving her shit for ending the storyline so abruptly with no real payoff. But I think at this point it was probably needed.
Yeah. And she knew that. She knew Mel couldn't work. I mean, and Luther's going to go do his own thing now, apparently against Jimmy Havoc, which is stupid because they're both heels.
Yeah, but they're both deathmatch guys. It could be interesting.
It could be.
Jericho's high on him.
On Luther?
Yeah. He's a big Luther fan.
Well, and that's the thing. I want to see more of Luther in the ring before I keep calling him an autistic vampiro. which, to me, that's the only thing he's proven right now is that's what he is. Proven to me. Jimmy Havoc right now is just basically being the backup bitch for Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford. But that's a program I think both guys should have. And I think, you know, once, I don't know exactly what's going to go on, how many episodes of Dynamite they're going to tape this week, but it is going to be live. So I don't know if they're taping any more after or the next day or whatever.
Yeah.
But they need to get some of these guys back on television. But a lot of these guys are doing the right thing by staying at home.
And I think AEW's done better than – first of all, WWE has gotten a lot of deserved shit. And I'm not going to say that they don't deserve the shit they get. But for the product that they have tried to put out, yes, some of the Raws have been very lackluster because they're just playing old shit sometimes. But WrestleMania really meant something. So I'm not going to shit talk them for WrestleMania because I really think they tried their best to entertain everybody.
Yeah. They did.
But as far as I'm concerned, AEW's put on the best quarantine show so far. Out of NXT, SmackDown, Raw, I think AEW has been the best quarantine show. With the empty arena, what they've done with that concept and having a couple wrestlers out there, and the matches, Britt Baker and Hikaru Shida from a few weeks ago, that turned out to be a fucking classic. You know, people are calling that a classic now, and that's an empty arena match. That was a throwaway match. No story.
Yeah.
It's a cold match, and people are calling that a classic now.
Right, and that's the thing, is that, like, with certain people still wanting to stay at home,
which is understandable.
Yeah, which I don't mind that whatsoever. And as far as, and WWE goes, they still are, like, they're doing more now with putting more matches out, trying to have, like, 5 or 6 matches for Raw or something like that. But also, certain people are getting too much camera time, i.e., Zelina Vega. That bitch does not need to be on, unless she is completely naked. She does not need to be in 10, in 13 of the 15 fucking segments of the show. Unless her and Charlie Caruso are completely naked, eating each other out.
Jesus fucking Christ. We're going to get demonetized. Yeah. So that was this week in wrestling. Anyone have anything else to bring up? I actually kind of want to end it on that note.
Okay. I was going to ask one more question, but I can ask them Friday. This question. Who's the biggest badass in AEW right now? Archer, Wardlow, Hager, or Roda Lee?
It's a hard one. I'm sold on Archer at the moment.
I think Archer because he's been more consistent.
Yeah. That's my answer.
He's been more consistent.
It was either between Archer or Lee. Exactly.
I think Brody Lee is going to be interesting, and Brody Lee is actually making me start to get interested in the Dark Order, which I thought I could never do. So,
right. Yeah. And now that they're going to be live, that they're bringing more people back in this week to do the show, we're going to get more advancement on storylines, and we might be able to get more of an advancement, like, because Dark Order and SCU were technically still feuding before
this whole thing.
Before, everybody started locking themselves up at home. Because Frankie Kazarian is wrestling Jon Moxley Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And their tag match is going to be great, too.
I'm going to put Lance Archer in the starting lineup. Take me out.
So you're taking Omega out and putting Archer in?
Yeah.
Even though Archer's not confirmed for a match this week, but Omega is?
Oh, never mind.
Omega's with the broken one.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's going to be a good match, too.
Omega, yeah, broken Matt Hardy against the sex gods. All
right,
guys.
This is Hardy's
debut,
right?
Really enjoyed, huh? What?
It's Hardy's debut, right? His match debut?
No, he wrestled Jericho already.
No, he hasn't wrestled Jericho.
Okay.
Oh, that didn't actually happen?
No, it was a promo. It wasn't a match.
Oh. Debut.
Sorry, Darren, to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I actually enjoyed today's discussion, guys, and we will see you next week. We'll see you this week for
next
the tier list.
Fun.
Factions tier list. Start thinking about where you're going to rate X Factor.
Yep. All
right, guys.
Later.
All right.
Later. Bye, Doug. Bye, Daniel.
Bye, Eric.
Bye, everybody.